This is Rusty Tanton.
And Amber Ray.
And you're listening to Mostly ITP on the Georgia Podcast Network, the show for the gifted and challenged. Today is October
26th.
And we have a movie review podcast for you today. We're going to review two films. First of all, we're going to review Jesus Camp, which was made this year by Heidi Ewing and Rachel Grady. And then we're also going to review Short Bus,
directed, which was also made this year.
Also made this year, directed by John Cameron Mitchell. This will serve as a nice little contrast because one of them is about a camp of Christian kids, and more accurately, a camp built from this Christian ministry. We'll get into all that in a minute. And the other one is a movie about debauchery.
Well, it's a camp for sex, if you will.
A camp for sex, if you will. Yes. So we'll get into that eventually here when we get through. First film, Jesus Camp, 2006. Your thoughts?
Well, first of all, I'd like to point out that on IMDb, one of the user comments started out with, "This is the saddest thing I've ever seen." So that should give you a good starting point. I thought the movie was pretty good. I mean, I think it was a documentary, and it just followed, mostly followed this one, I guess she's a preacher. Is there some other
name
we're
supposed to call
her? Well,
she's a minister.
A youth minister.
She's a youth minister.
She's a youth minister.
In Missouri.
Yes, her name is Becky Fisher, and she's been a youth minister since 91, and she runs this camp, ironically located in Devil's Lake, North Dakota. I wonder if she picked it for that reason. But anyway, and I think it said the camp had been going on for about 5 years now. Mm-hmm. And basically, they just take kids, mostly, you know, prepubescent young kids from like,
five to ten.
Yeah. And their parents. And they go and stay for a week and basically get indoctrinated with political agendas trying to disguise themselves as religious dogma.
Yeah. At one point during the film, they actually praise a cardboard cutout of President George W. Bush.
Yeah, they bring him on out and say, "Hey, kids, let's pray for the president.
Let's pray for the president to pick Supreme Court justices."
Yeah, that's a big part of it. There's a big part of it about them praying for conservative Christian Supreme Court judges.
Yeah, there's no question that is just totally a violation of any sort of tax
exemption
that they may or may not be getting. I don't know if they're getting a tax exemption.
Well, it would be interesting to find out.
It would be interesting to find out.
Also, apparently, global warming is a Christian issue.
Apparently.
In that the non-Christians, it's a plot of theirs, mm-hmm. or something. I'm still not really clear.
I guess
on exactly how that fits with Christianity.
The thing is that what I would like to see sort of demonstrated more, and what I would like to get more of an idea of, is there two very distinct sects. I mean, there's probably more than two, but two in my mind that sort of stick out. There's this born again evangelical, and then there's the rest of them. And this focuses more on that born again evangelical.
Yeah, this movie doesn't focus on your everyday run of the mill, go to church on Sunday.
Not crazy
Christians. Yeah. I mean, quite frankly, the crazies. Yeah. And it's really unfortunate because, I mean, you know, I'm not going to sit here and make accusations about the kids being crazy. It's really pretty sick the way these adults are using young children who can't understand a lot of these topics that they're just indoctrinating them with, using them as pawns to further their political agenda. You know, what does an 8-year-old know about abortion? It's just not...
Why should an 8-year-old be thinking about whether she's dancing for the flesh or dancing for the Lord?
Yeah, when that girl said that, I think she was 10, but still, it doesn't matter. I mean, when she said she needs to concentrate on dancing for the Lord and not dancing for the flesh, I was just really creeped out because why would any 10-year-old say that? That's something she heard her parents or someone say. I mean, She doesn't know what that means.
At what point as a parent do you tell yourself, well, they're old enough for me to tell them not to go around and having sex with people? I mean, because they must do this at a very early age. It's something they're clearly very preoccupied with. Well, but the problem is that
they don't do it age appropriately.
Yeah.
I mean, that's great. You can tell a six-year-old, don't go around having sex with people, but they don't know what that means. So, yeah. You know?
Well, and they have no way to comprehend what that means.
Yeah.
There's a real pattern here, I think, in introducing a lot of serious concepts incorrectly, I might add.
Yeah, definitely.
To these kids at a very early age. And this is the part where I am going to be very critical of their parenting and question their ability as parents. And in fact, question some of my relatives' abilities as parents. I'll give you another little example of indoctrination. At Thanksgiving a year or two ago, I have a cousin who his father had just died. So any criticism or negative speaking against him would have made anybody the bad guy. But something I noticed that he does with his child is he is at the time was all of 4-5 years old at the very most, probably not even that old. I think he might have been younger than that. And this was during the 2004 election, or was it actually?
It was right after.
It might have been.
I think it was
2005, actually.
No, 2005 was last year, and we went to Thanksgiving together.
That's right. Okay, so it was 2004 then. Or actually.
Yes, it was 2004.
It was 2004, but
I read it on your blog.
It was Christmas 2004. So anyway, trying to get the date straight here, it was Christmas 2004, and my cousin, after the heated election, asked his 3 or 4 or 5-year-old son, well, what's a Democrat? And the kid just starts spouting off really nasty language for a kid that age, and which, by the way, I thought the Christians were all against the nasty language, but the point I would make with this little anecdote is that my cousin was teaching his child to hate something he didn't understand, and that's wrong. And anybody who does it is wrong, and I will call it on them.
Yeah, it's wrong. Time. I mean, I don't care what it is or who it is, it's wrong. And I would also like to clarify, because earlier I said something about age appropriateness, and it's creepy for a 10-year-old to be saying she shouldn't be dancing for the flesh. Well, I'm not saying that parents shouldn't talk to their children about important issues like sex and, you know, a bunch of other issues from an early age, but the point is to do it in an age-appropriate way so that the kid understands what you're talking about.
Exactly. So any more thoughts on the film?
I have one thought on the film. This is a point where I believe we disagree. I think that the film did a good job of just getting out of the way. There wasn't any vocal commentary from the filmmakers. There were some, you know, some text on the screen here and there just for clarification of, you know, like background.
You're in Kansas.
Yeah.
That kind of thing.
But I think they did a really good job of just getting out of the way and presenting things. They had a few segments in there where they would intersperse from scenes from the camp and the church with this talk show host who...
From Air America Radio.
Yeah, I believe he was a Christian.
Mike Pampantonio.
Yeah, he was like a Christian Democrat or liberal or something.
Yeah.
Anyway, not a crazy conservative Christian. But, you know, he was talking about how their version of Christianity differs so much from the Christianity that he was raised with and that, you know, he lived with his whole life and that, you know, he was trying to reconcile how they could call themselves Christian. Anyway, Rusty thinks that they shouldn't have had that in there, that it was too much.
I actually, it's not that I don't think they shouldn't have had it in there. It's that I just think there was a little much of it.
And I would agree with that, except for the fact that later they show Becky calling in to that show to debate the guy. And I think that once I saw that, I thought that it did serve a good purpose to sort of set up, you know, like what his viewpoints were.
Unlike One Review, I don't think it's completely superfluous. It's not... The impression I got from one review I read, I think before the fact, actually, was that that segment just shouldn't have been in there at all, shouldn't have existed. I don't agree with that. I think it should have been there. But there were some times where I thought he was just kind of overdoing it and over-explaining what was going on, I think it's very clear just from watching that camp what you're looking at, that you're looking at the, you know, ground zero of the culture wars, basically. And I don't think that needed to be over-explained by the talk show host. Mm-hmm. And so that's my point of contention. But I do think that it worked.
Yeah.
I just think there was a little much of it. So
overall?
Overall, I'd go B+. I think you should definitely see
I'd
it.
Even give it an A.
B+, even an A. A- maybe.
Yeah.
Good
film. Definitely see it. It's a little scary, but I think it's important.
I agree. Moving on.
Moving right along to the six. Short Bus by John Cameron Mitchell, who's the director. Same guy who did Hedwig and the Angry Inch, which I have not seen, but heard good things about. So anyway, if you've seen that, then you know who this director is. Thoughts?
Thoughts. Well, one thing, first of all, the controversy surrounding this movie, if you want to call it that, although not nearly as much controversy as I would have expected, is that there is some real sex in it. Pretty good amount of real sex in it. There's you know, masturbation, orgies,
fucking,
you know, masturbation,
I mean.
Fucking. I mean, you name it, it's just about in there. There's, you know, threesomes. But what was interesting to me about the sex is that it didn't seem gratuitous at all.
Mm-hmm.
And most of the films that I've seen that have tried to either be more risque with it or present it in a way that just seems more geared toward titillation, mm-hmm. rather than toward enhancing the storyline,
mm-hmm.
which in this case I never felt like it was gratuitous. I've seen all sorts of things that offended me. Very few things actually really offend me.
Well, you can tell when a film is just trying to put it in there.
Yeah.
You know, just seeing how they can work it in, seeing, you know, how far they can push the envelope or, you know, and it just falls flat. It doesn't work. It's just totally transparent. But this was something completely different.
The more I think about it, the more I actually believe this film would not have worked without the real sex in it.
No, I absolutely agree.
The more
agree.
I think about it. I mean, first of all, I think it's kind of a dumb question to ask. I kind of resent the question, well, would this film work without the real sex? Because that implies that sex is this bad thing.
Well, it's like saying, you know, would the film work without showing the couples counseling sessions?
Yeah.
No, because that's an integral part of the film.
Yeah, absolutely. Why it's so important, and I really kind of just came to this realization right before we started recording here, is the whole film is very subtly wrapped around themes of 9/11. And there's one point in the movie where I think the guy who runs the club says, or no, it was it the mayor or was it the guy who runs a club? I don't remember. It was one of those characters said 9/11 is the only thing that's real to them. And and I think a lot of the themes in this movie are centered around searching for something that's real.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that if you don't have the real sex in there, that it weakens that significantly.
Oh, absolutely.
To the point
agree.
Where it would be just, you know, kind of a trite movie, honestly.
Yeah, it would not work. And I mentioned this on my blog, but I'll say it again because probably all of you don't read my blog. And why don't you really? But anyway.
Another podcast.
It really kind of bugs me that a lot of places I've seen this movie advertised as porn. And it just irritates me because I don't think that's accurate. I mean, I think it's really short-sighted and wrong to just instantly label something porn simply because it has real actual sex in it. Not because I think there's anything wrong with porn, but because that's not what this movie is. You know, porn, we were trying to figure out in the car on the way back from the movie exactly what genre we would put this movie in, because there really isn't a whole lot like it.
No, there's not.
People haven't done this, or at least they haven't done it successfully very often.
Something I wanted to look up, and I forgot to look up before we started this podcast, but I'm not going to go back now, is at one point Stanley Kubrick was toying with the idea of making a movie with real sex in it, because he had commented that he had seen people try to do it before and nobody was doing it right. Mm-hmm. And this was the first time I ever saw one that I thought did it right.
I agree, yeah. And why it's not porn is what Rusty said, the sex is there to further the storyline. Whereas I think the main distinction would be that when with porn, the main focus is on the sex. Any storyline is just to, you know, help you get to the sex, which that's okay, but that's a completely
different kind of... It's just plot advancement, if they're even bothering with a plot.
Yeah. So I guess we should really summarize the characters, too.
Yeah, we should, actually.
Because we haven't done that
We yet. Haven't bothered with the characters yet. We've just been rambling about the sex.
I mean, there's a lot I could talk for an hour
well,
about this movie
yeah,
alone.
Yeah, so. And seriously, we probably shouldn't because nobody's going to listen to that. But
so the main characters are... there's a gay couple, James and Jamie.
Well, they're both Jamie, and then James recently decided to go by James.
There's Sophia and Rob, who are a married couple, but it really focuses more on Sophia. She is a therapist, sex therapist, but apparently she likes to be called a couples counselor.
And the joke is she's a sex counselor, sex therapist who has never had an orgasm.
Right. So a lot of it is about her searching for that. And then
at one point she says she's an idiot savant.
Yes, she does. And then there's Severin, who is a dominatrix. And those are really the main characters.
Those are the core characters.
There's the guy who runs Short Bus, which is the name of the actual salon where all the characters come together. But really, those are the main characters. And it just follows the characters in their development, you know, their emotional development, their personal quests for whatever it is they're looking for. Mm-hmm. They're all sort of trying to figure out different things. And what did I say when we were, after we saw it, something about like at the end of the movie, there's not necessarily, wait, is this going to be a spoiler? I probably shouldn't.
Yeah, you probably shouldn't give any spoilers. Just think very
Never
carefully
mind.
About it.
Never mind. That would have been a
spoiler.
That would
have been a spoiler, so we're going to skip that.
But in conclusion...
In conclusion, yes.
No spoilers, but this is a very good film, and I highly recommend it to everybody.
I would
give it an A again.
Yeah, I would give this one a definite A. I don't know if I've seen a better movie this year, actually. I can't think of one off the top of my head.
And see, folks, we're people who don't like to speak in superlatives.
Yeah.
So you can trust one of us when we say that.
Yeah, I kind of hate superlatives.
And I guess that's a superlative right there.
Yeah.
But anyway.
That was my little weak attempt at irony.
So on that note, any other thoughts?
I think that about wraps it up.
All right. Well, eventually we'll have yet another one of these for you. So stay tuned.
Cheerio. The song you heard in this podcast was Flux by Drop Trio, available only on Magnatune.com.
Thanks for listening to Mostly ITP on the Georgia Podcast Network. Visit us at gapodcastnetwork.com.